Good afternoon and welcome to this episode of the Full Press NFL Podcast. Host Terrence Biggs with me, as always. He is the managing editor of Full Press Chiefs, also the social media manager for FullPressCoverage.com, including social media like X, our guy, Braden Holichek. What's going on, Braden?
Not too much. It's crazy to think we're already close to the end of February. We got the franchise tag window opening tomorrow, just a few weeks till the legal tampering period. So even with the Super Bowl, winding down and the season concluding, it's full steam ahead into the off season here, and can't wait to kind of continue with our free agency preview.
Speaking of, today we're going to discuss wide receivers. Now, going from 5 to 1, who's your number 5?
Yeah, number five. This was an interesting one. I'll say Tyler Boyd just missed the cut for me. I still think he could be a worthwhile piece for some team out there, but I went with Calvin Ridley at five. I know obviously missed some time with the whole gambling issue and stuff off the field, but I still think he showed a lot coming back to the Jaguars last year. I think you look at the speed and yards after the catch that he was still able to generate in Jacksonville. I think there's a lot of still pluses to his game. I think some speed guys, you look at guys that can kind of fall off quickly with their speed, but I think Calvin Ridley's still dynamic enough to win down the field as we saw in Jacksonville. And I just think there's a lot of teams that are maybe contenders out there that kind of make sense to me for him. So I kind of expect him to have a pretty wide-ranging market. It'll be interesting to see what value of contract he gets. But even with missing time before last year, I think with what he showed in Jacksonville, I have to go Calvin Ridley at five.
At 4, I got Tyler Boyd for a couple of reasons. He's sure-handed. He's not going to drop one. He's a great blocker, smart guy, runs a complete route tree, but more importantly, he knows how to fit within the confines of an offense. He's not going to be your number one. He may not even be a number two, but as a 2/3, he provides enough to make a decent offense good. And I think that it's less of the Cincinnati offense and more of his own personal traits. At 4, who you got?
Yeah, four for me. I'm gonna go with Marquise Brown. I think obviously there's so many offenses that are kind of longing for that speed element, and kind of mentioned it a little bit with Calvin Ridley, but I think Marquise Brown is just kind of a whole nother level, able to kind of take that top off of defenses. I think you see the body control that he has, able to make some adjustments at the catch point and in space. I think over time, as he kind of transitioned to Arizona out of Baltimore after that trade, I think he's kind of constantly improved with his route running and ability to separate. So just kind of an explosive threat. I don't know if he would be a wide receiver one on every team, but I think there's teams out there to me. Obviously, Kansas City, I think, is a spot for him. I look at an Indianapolis maybe as well with a lot of cap space. Marquise Brown, to me, I think he's been really good, but I think there's still another level that he could continue to grow and just produce even higher for somebody out there.
At 4, I'm thinking Calvin Ridley for the simple matter of he still has so much to grow as far as his ceiling as a wideout, being able to use different types of releases and different types of routes. He runs crisp routes, very clean, very crisp, very clear. My only issue with him is his suspect hands. He drops a lot of passes. He runs great routes. He had a bounce back season a year ago with the Jags. Just the hands part. We got it at 3.
Yeah, three for me is going to be T. Higgins, and I think obviously this top three on the list for me is all elite players. I think the thing that kind of worries me for Higgins, maybe not that much, but I think something that teams will have to be aware of. He's had some injury issues here and there, lower body, which is kind of interesting for a little bit bigger bodied receiver. T. Higgins, to me, I was probably a little bit lower on him compared to most coming out of the draft, but I think you see the versatility that he can provide. Very kind of a savvy route runner, but still able to kind of make some explosive plays, contested catch down the field, run away from some guys even after the catch. So T. Higgins, to me, it's going to be interesting to see what Cincinnati does. They already locked up Joe Burrow. They have probably a Ja'Marr Chase contract coming up soon. So if they don't franchise tag him, he's probably going to be in high demand from any kind of teams. I think you look at Tennessee with Brian Callahan getting that head coaching job. Carolina, who needs anybody they can find around Bryce Young, and maybe there's some other contenders out there. But I think with the contract he's going to command, I think you could look at one of these more rebuilding teams or teams in transition going after him. T. Higgins is really intriguing. I think though the underlying factors of just the injuries and inability to play some full seasons here and there, I think, is something you have to be aware of. But still a really, really exciting player on this year's market.
Or three, I got Michael Pittman, where I look at Michael Pittman, he is the Volvo of wide receivers. Not flashy. He's going to get you to point A to point B. He'll get you that 1,000 yards. He's not going to blow by anybody. I think he has 11 yards a catch, but also a physical blocker, does the little things right. Perfect complement to an offense with a burner at number one. Who you got at two?
Yeah, you kind of mentioned it right there. Michael Pittman Jr. is number two for me. I think you, like you said, nothing too flashy. He's kind of a workhorse. And I think somebody that I think you look at all these kind of younger receivers that are available. I think he's just kind of somebody that is probably the most I guess well-rounded is how I'd put it. I don't know if he's a 10 in every area, but he's probably an 8 or better in most categories that you're looking at, being able to separate, being able to kind of use his tempo to kind of switch up his kind of approach against defensive backs. I think there's a lot of ways that you can use him that maybe hasn't even been untapped yet during his time in Indianapolis. So kind of expect him to possibly get the highest number on the free agent market if he reaches it of kind of the younger wide receivers. So like you said, a workhorse and just a guy that I think you just love the confidence that he has as a number one receiver.
At two, I got T. Higgins because of the qualities that you mentioned early on, like big body, has the ability to make a big play. He won't be a number one because I think the fact that over 4 seasons he has 28 drops, he will cost teams. But the lure of that 30, 40-yard catch is going to make somebody open their wallets and open their wallets in a big way for him. This is his chance to show that he's going to be a lead guy. I'm guessing we might have the same number one, but go ahead and tell me who your top spot is.
Yeah, I think it's got to be Mike Evans. I think I don't think the underrated is probably the word that is best to describe him, but I think there's always a level of underappreciation with him. He's had at least 1,000 yards every year he's been in the league. Kind of a guy that lets his play on the field kind of speak for him. Not afraid to get in somebody's face, but I just kind of like how he's almost that cool, calm assassin at wide receiver. With his frame, it's always I think so impressive to see some of the plays he's able to make, whether it's after the catch, getting away from guys during routes and blowing by them, down the field. So Mike Evans, it's interesting. The latest kind of reports this morning were that Tampa Bay may end up having to let him kind of reach the open market. So I think for any team, whether it's Kansas City looking to add more guys around Patrick Mahomes, Carolina, whoever it is, I think any team would love to get their hands on Mike Evans, and just a consummate pro and a guy that's consistently produced.
Mike Evans is mine for a couple of reasons that you mentioned, a couple of different ones where one, he is a current future Hall of Famer where there's no doubt he's going to be in the Hall of Fame. And if he continues his pace, first ballot, racked up 1,000 yards, like you mentioned, productive with three different quarterbacks. People who don't really understand always thought that Mike Evans thrived with Brady. He actually had better numbers with Jameis Winston. He had good numbers with Baker Mayfield. He had great numbers with Brady too. That means he could play with different types of passers with different types of mindsets. You mentioned being a good teammate. He will stand up for his team. He laid out Marshon Lattimore how many times? Just on sight. But with him, his speed, the ability to be able to muscle around corners, he's not going to have the highest catch percentage. That's something you will deal with for that type of production. Now, when we come back from break, I kind of want to delve into the metrics and kind of the grading process on how we see wide receivers. You are listening to the Full Press NFL podcast on the FPC Radio Network. We are back with the Full Press NFL podcast. Terrence Biggs, Braden Hollicheck. Braden, how do you evaluate wide receivers, not just in the pros, but at the collegiate level? What sticks out most as far as the first thing that you look for?
Yeah, I think probably the first thing that I usually look for is their release package off the line of scrimmage. And I think there's some guys that are a little bit more controlled that aren't always going to maybe stand out immediately to you. But I think I look at this first and foremost just because of is it a kind of lazy release off the line of scrimmage that is going to be kind of easy for defenders to kind of realize what's happening with their routes. I think there's some guys also that just know how to set up, defenders to make the wrong decision and kind of increase the throwing window for their quarterback. So that's kind of the first thing that I look at. And then really, I think you kind of look at how under control they are at the catch point. I think there's some guys that drops. It's not even always about their hands. I think for me, it's just the focus on the football. How they kind of respond against contact or close, tight windows down the field. So those are kind of the little things. Obviously, route running and separation is huge in today's NFL, but I think there's obviously been cases where guys have been able to grow quickly with that route running skill. So I'm not gonna necessarily ever, I guess, totally, kind of eliminate any player, coming out of college going into the NFL and thinking that they'll never be able to improve in that aspect, but. It's just you can kind of tell, I think, what guys are more savvy with it than others right away. With others, it'll just take some time. So I think it's really, for me, it always starts with that release package, how they kind of control themselves at the catch point, and then yeah, route running. I guess how many tweaks are you going to have to really refine some guys if they need it?
I agree. When I look at the release, it's important because when evaluating a wideout, I look at between the ears. If we're watching film, and let's just say, for example, the defender has inside shade, which means he's over the inner shoulder, which means he wants to take away every in-breaking route, be it slant, be it post, the cornerback wants to take away. Wait, how does that receiver still run that route without being pushed away from the route? You see a lot of receivers, college, NFL, who will attempt to bully the inside route no matter what, and they'll get redirected or their route disrupted. Those are timing patterns that will usually end up in a pick or a pass defense. For me, I look at a receiver, we'll look at a Jalen Waddle. We'll look at a Tyreek Hill. We'll look at a Justin Jefferson. If the corner has inside shade, we've seen these guys sell the fade or sell the go by going right downfield and then being able to get the cornerback open, which means their body is facing outward to sell, like going out. Once they get those shoulders turned, they stick their foot in the ground and turn it back inside for that slant. These are the type of things I look at when I'm looking at a receiver. Very few receivers are Randy Moss. Very few receivers are Terrell Owens, even Marvin Harrison. I look at that. I also look at contested catches. You don't have to be the biggest wide receiver, but you have to be one that's going to fight for the ball. How many times have we seen big wide receivers who shy away from contact, who don't want to be anywhere near the ball, who don't want to have to be muscled up on a safety, a corner, even at times a linebacker? Now, speaking of that, does the frame of receiver matter? If you have a shorter receiver, may not be the biggest guy, but has everything else, Do you look at him differently than Tar Receiver, or do you just go by the eye test and kind of go by a film afterward?
Yeah, I think kind of what you mentioned there, contested catch, was actually a good point. I think we've actually seen a lot of kind of quote unquote smaller receivers actually start to play bigger than their size in recent years. I just think we've seen so many guys kind of create added chances and higher percentage catches for themselves, even if they are a little bit smaller. So I think it's more the eye test and the film for me. To kind of answer your questions, I think the it's always kind of interesting to see how many bigger bodied receivers have not been able to utilize their size to their advantage. There's been some cases in recent years coming out of the draft, and certain guys just playing smaller than what they really are. It's always a tricky thing, but I think you've just seen in the last couple of years, Zay Flowers, I think, is a good example this past season. But there's so many guys that I think are starting to kind of not even really think about the size, but just use kind of their strength and their physical prowess to kind of create higher percentage chances and able to help out their quarterback in those ways.
As someone who has rooted for the Raiders in Oakland, Los Angeles, back to Oakland, and now Las Vegas, the team has been associated with speed ever since I could ever remember, the ability to get open deep. When you look at long speed, are you more of a fan of somebody who can get open with longer strides, or do you want somebody to get open with just pure burst?
I think I look at pure burst probably a little bit more. I guess I buy into that a little bit more just because I think with the strides, I think there's certain guys I think that can obviously create some added separation down the field, but I think there's times where the adjustments or being able to make those plays on the football don't always translate. So I kind of look at pure burst a little bit more. What about you?
I look at pure burst too, because then you have times when there are a lot of players who have what's called build-up speed, where it takes them a while to kind of get up to top speed. And if you have a faster cornerback, they're with them hip to hip. They are staying with them. Where a burst right off the line, if that receiver gets free, as you know, you're watching the Chiefs. They got a bunch of guys who can get open free and just be able to separate and be able to get downfield. Oh, not just for the deep route, but for that post, for that skinny post, for that deep out. And I think that burst is most important. Now, as someone who covers the Chiefs, your team is an example of someone, a team that doesn't need a true number one wide receiver to be successful. Do you think that other teams, because the NFL is a copycat league, they will try to emulate the same thing, like find an excellent tight end and build around them with functional receivers?
Yeah, I think if anything that teams can kind of take away from the Chiefs, I think you have to be able to kind of spread the wealth and make sure a lot of people get a piece of the pie is kind of how I think Kansas City is best described it. I think you have to be just willing to use as many different weapons each game day as possible just to kind of keep the defense honest. I will say if you don't have plus pass catchers at running back or multiple tight ends that you can kind of rely on. I think you have to have at least three wide receivers to kind of be competitive every week if you're going to run mostly 11 personnel with one running back, one tight end. I think it's harder to double guys when there's two really good guys, but I think when you have that extra weapon out of the slot or someone that you can move around, I think you have to have those three. But yeah, I think for Kansas City, the biggest thing that I think teams can kind of take away is build up each position and kind of spread the wealth as much as you can.
Has there ever been a wide receiver that you looked at that you saw in college that you swore would be a difference maker at the next level but failed to catch fire?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember some off the top of my head. I kind of think back to Jalen Reagor was actually someone that I kind of really liked, I guess, that year, where you had Justin Jefferson go right after him. I thought his big playability, I think his versatility was also something that really stood out to me. So I think that's the best that I can remember off the top of my head right now. I'm sure there's others, but I'm kind of just blanking on some of the recent years. Part of that is I think we've just seen so many wide receivers step in right away and have success. But Jalen Reagor is probably the one of the best examples that I would be able to come up with right now.
That would be mine, where I thought when he was at TCU, he was going to be a game breaker, where he had the ability to return kicks, but also separation, had route knowledge at all three levels, never translated and never really was much of a factor. A second one would be Henry Ruggs, where not because of the incarcerations, but just even before that, he wasn't developing at the same rate where they would just be sent on go routes and nothing underneath, nothing where you could use his speed as far as screens. It was all simple fly. And I think that that tended to hinder his development. How can people interact with you on social media and what's coming up on FPC Chiefs?
Yeah, you guys can follow me on Twitter or X at Braden Holacek 9, BradenHolecek9, with the number 9. Also follow at FPC underscore Chiefs and at Full Press NFL. Going to be a lot of off-season articles and content coming out there soon. Yeah, today just kind of initial look at the Chiefs free agent class for 2024. 25 total players will be pending free agents. So just kind of looking at some notes on each side of the ball, offense and defense. A lot more defensive guys are free agents pending for Kansas City. So looking at that, maybe some guys that are a little bit more likely to come back, and others that might be replaced a little bit more easily. And then franchise tag window opening Tuesday, February 20th. That 2 week window opens up. So I was kind of looking at the ability of the Chiefs if they're going to use the franchise tag in 2024, not just kind of looking at the pros and cons that could await them with those decisions, and which path is maybe most desirable. I think you look at the free agents, it's really probably down to Chris Jones and Legarius Sneed if they're going to use the tag. And then, yeah, just kind of a more general idea. I'll have kind of another franchise tag piece coming out on Tuesday with kind of the top candidates to kind of watch for there. So, going to be a lot of off-season content popping up soon, and can't wait to get to it.
This has been another episode of the Full Press NFL Podcast.